attention. Let the Lord help you tonight. If you came here and you don't know if you're saved, you can leave with blessed assurance. I don't think you'd have to be real smart to figure out God's put another service together. A whole lot of things have fallen in place. He's bad about that, isn't he? Amen. He's such a good God. You listen to God's man,
brother. All right. Thank you, my brother. I love you in the Lord. I appreciate the preacher letting me use this Pentecostal microphone. Anybody ever heard of Benny Hinn? Well, I'm Joe Rooster, and I'm glad to be here. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. We had a little surgery on our vocal cords, and my voice therapist said, this is what I got to do to stay in the ministry, so I'm going to do it. And I enjoyed being here already. I preached here 30 years ago. I was 32. And if I don't come back to another 30 years, praise God, I'll be in diapers. Amen. I'll be 92. But I enjoyed the last time I was here. And the reason why it stands out in my mind, and if you know my son Joseph, it'll blow your mind. He's 36 years old now, works at our church, but he's always real quiet. And somebody said, why was he quiet? Because his sister did all the talking. And she turned out to be a lawyer, so you know how that is. But we were sitting over here on the last night of the meeting, and Brother Dwight Banks said, anybody got a word? Jim, you ain't going to believe it. My boy Bubba said, I do. He said, I want to sing. That boy ain't never sung in his life. I thought, boy, I hope he knows a gospel song or I'm going to be in trouble. Because we eat at Waffle House, you know. And so he, you got it. And he walked up here and he sung a hymn. And I went, praise God for that. But you guys were his first and last. He's never sang again. But it's just good to be here tonight, and I'm thankful for the good heritage you have, and it's good to see the old camp meeting still going on. Turn to somebody beside of you and say, hey, you look better with your mask on. Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Doug, for an opportunity to come. I asked Brother Doug what time he wanted me to stop. He said, y'all been getting out at 8:30. So I ain't got but 15 minutes, so let's go here. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10, began reading in verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. I'm glad that that's not the end of the story. The next word is a conjunction, but. And I wonder how many are glad tonight God butted in your life. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 35 is the text tonight. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and say this with me, and gave them to the host. Say that with me again. And gave them to the host. And said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever. I like that. Thou spendest more, when I come again, praise God, I've heard somebody else say that. When I come again, I will repay thee. And I'm interested tonight in that little phrase where it talked about the host. He gave that command to the host and said, you take care of this man that I've loved and helped. And when I come again, I will repay thee. And I want to preach tonight on the host. How long has it been since you've been a host? In fact, most of us are in this room tonight because somebody hosted us along the journey. I believe the parable before us tonight is one of the greatest, most powerful pictures of the grace of God you'll find in all of the Bible. There are three characters seemingly this parable hinges around. It begins with that man that was fallen, who fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his raiment and left that man deserted to die on the side of the road. I believe tonight that I would be safe in saying that he is a picture of the misery of the sinner. He is a picture of every one of us outside of God's amazing grace. We were all fallen into sin, stripped of our pride, stripped of a home in heaven, lost and undone without God or his Son. We could not help ourselves, the law could not help us, and religion could not help us. And he is a picture of the misery of the sinner. But then there is the Good Samaritan, the main character of the parable. He's the but certain man, the certain Samaritan that came to where that man was. And I believe if that fallen man is a picture of the misery of the sinner, I believe this Good Samaritan is a picture of the mercy of the Savior. Because he came to where the man was. The man couldn't go to where the Samaritan was, but the Samaritan went to where the fallen man was. And when he couldn't go to him, he came to him. That's Jesus. And he looked beyond his fault and saw his need. Even though he was fallen, even though he was stripped, even though he was mortally wounded and deserted, he looked beyond all of that and had compassion. He came to where he was. He loved him like he was. But he did not leave him like he found him. Glory. He bound up his wounds, poured in the oil and the wine, and took care of him. I wonder how many under this tabernacle tonight, do you remember that glad hour when he came to where you were, looked beyond your fault and saw your need, and not because of you, but in spite of you, loved you, saved you, poured it in, set you on, brought you to. I'm glad for the mercy of the Savior. But the third character in the parable is the one that I want to preach on tonight. Not the fallen man, not the Good Samaritan, but this host. Now, if that fallen man is a picture of the misery of the sinner, and that Samaritan a picture of the mercy of the Savior, then I believe this host has got to be a picture of the ministry of the saints. He is a picture of you and I, the part that we play in God's salvation plan. For this Good Samaritan not only did not leave this man like he found him, he did not leave him where he found him. He brought him to this inn. He brought him to this special place. And in the absence of the Samaritan, under the authority of the Samaritan, by the auspices of the Samaritan, And in the anticipation of the return of the Samaritan, this man pours his life in the recovery of this fallen man. He's not the one that picked him up and healed him, but he's the one that's going to take care of him till the Samaritan comes again. He is going to host. He is going to invest. He is going to be a blessing to one that has been picked up by the Good Samaritan. And I wonder how many of us tonight, we're not only glad that Jesus found us, Jesus saved us, but aren't you glad he didn't leave you where he found you? He put you under the watch care of a host. Somebody that hosted you on your journey. Somebody that invested their life into your Christian life. They loved you. They prayed for you. They encouraged you. They exhorted you. They helped you along the way. And I want to say tonight, I'm glad I've got the Lord. I'm glad I've got the Bible. I'm glad I got the Holy Ghost. But I'm glad I've got you. I'm glad I have the saints of God who invest, who involve their life and encourage us on our way home. I want to thank God for all of the host that's been in my life. And I want to give my life to Christ to be a host. If I can help and encourage and invest in someone's life along the journey, I want to hear him say one day, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I don't save anybody, but I know a man who can. I don't emancipate the captive, but I know a man who can. I can't put shattered, broken dreams and families back together, but I know a man who can. And I can help you recover. I can encourage you along the journey. Every time I read this passage, I'm reminded of a picture that I saw one time of a big turtle sitting on a fence post about 4 foot off the ground. And the caption over the turtle's head said, "I didn't get here by myself." Ladies and gentlemen, we did not get here by ourselves. When God found us and God saved us, aren't you glad he put us under the fellowship of the household of faith and put people in our life that would host us and bless us and encourage us and exhort us along the journey? Thank God for the host that's been in our life. And from this passage, I want to give you some things about this host. And it's a picture of your ministry and mine as we love those that Jesus has saved along the way. Number one in the text, I want you to see the pattern. The pattern. The Good Samaritan finds this man, loves this man, helps this man, and brings him to the host. And he simply makes this statement, "You take care of him." What is he saying? You pick up where I left off. You do what I've been doing. This man has taken the wrong turn. He has fallen among thieves. They have messed him up. They have stripped him of his raiment. They have mortally wounded this man, and I found him, I loved him, I helped him, I've started his recovery. Now I'm going away for a little while, and in my absence, you do what I've been doing. Take care of him. Now, if he's going to do what he's been doing, then he's got to do it like he's been doing it. And he's got to use what he used when he done it. Now, please don't ask me to say that again. But I want to tell you this. If he's going to do like he's been a doing, he's got to do it like he did it. And that is, he's got to look beyond what he looks like. He's got to look beyond what he looks like. And he's got to love him anyhow, help him anyhow, and encourage him anyhow. And let me just say, if you're not willing to look over what some people are when God saves them, you're not going to be a host. Everybody wasn't a lost preacher's boy like me. I tell everybody, man, I lived right before I got saved. And it wasn't because I feared the Lord. I feared my mama and I feared my daddy. Because if I hadn't, I'd have been to the woodshed and that'd have been bloodshed. And my mama could slap you so hard you thought the Liberty Bell cracked again. I didn't have a whole lot to get rid of and stop and start. I grew up in a Sunday school and the choir and the church, and I didn't look any different. But pastoring in Atlanta, Georgia, for the last 40 years, ma'am, they've come through our church. Their daddy wasn't a preacher. Their mama wasn't a shouter. They don't know anything about Sunday school. They don't know anything about choir. All they know is, buddy, they were lost and undone, had to do a devil's hell, going down for the last time. But Jesus came to where they were and looked beyond their fault and saw their need. They don't look fundamental. They don't look bad. They don't look independent. They don't look like nothing. But I'm glad Jesus loves them and Jesus cares for them and Jesus saves them. And tonight the church needs to get back into the people reaching business and the people loving business. And if Jesus Christ, our pattern, can look beyond somebody's fault and see their need, that's what he did for me. That's what he did for you. Let's love people and reach people and help people. Jesus loves them enough to die for them. We ought to love them enough to live for them. You got to do it like he did it. You got to go to where they're at. You got to look beyond what they are. Man, the priest saw this guy and he passed him by. The Levite saw this guy and he passed him by. But what turned their stomach touched the good Samaritan's heart. He saw the same naked man. He saw the same fallen man. He saw the same wounded man. But he had the ability to look beyond what he was, to see what he needed. I wonder if there's anybody in this tabernacle tonight, you're glad when Jesus came. He looked beyond your fault and then saw your need and loved you anyhow and saved you anyhow and washed you anyhow. Aren't you glad, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus accepts all and refuses none. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I believe if Jesus was alive today on this earth, physically pastoring a church, his sign would say, open them doors and open them wide and let all the sinners come inside. I don't believe our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be at the front of the door going, you can come, but you can't. You can come, but you can't. We don't allow people like this in our church. No, if Jesus pastored a church, and I'd love to go preach a revival one time where he was the full pastor, wouldn't that be awesome? I believe he'd stand in the front door of the church with wounded hands from Calvary and say, come on in, honey. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. I'm telling you, he's a loving Savior. He's a kind Savior. He's a receiving Savior. And we will never be more like Jesus when we're loving and investing in the lives of others who need it in their life. I love the pattern that he set. If you're going to do what I've been doing, you got to do it like I did it, and you got to use what I've been using. Well, look back in the text. What had he been using? Well, the Bible said he poured in oil and wine. Now, I got that oil. I got that right off. I mean, that's a picture of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. And let me just say, the greatest thing you can do to somebody that's recovering from a boogered up life is get them under the spout where the oil is running out. Because there is no past, there is no sin, there is no embarrassment, there is no shame that the Holy Ghost can't get somebody over and above. Thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How are we going to be a host? Holy Ghost preaching, Holy Ghost praying, Holy Ghost living, Holy Ghost singing, Holy Ghost loving. Ladies and gentlemen, the Spirit of God will make a difference in people's lives that are recovering from the fall. The oil. But man, when I got to that wine, I'm going to be honest with you, I got stubbed. And so I went to the Bible commentary and found out he didn't know nothing either. If you want to know how little people know about the Bible, read commentaries. And man, I found three camps. One man said that wine in the Bible is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And he used that positive and negative command from Ephesians 5. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And as wine controls a drunken man, the Spirit controls a Spirit-filled man. I understand it, but I didn't get it. Then one guy said, it's a symbol of joy and happiness. Well, I guess if you drank enough of it, you're going to get happy sooner or later. But I still wasn't happy. So I laid down my commentary. And I remembered Dr. Walter Macmillan's first rule in homiletics. Scripture explains scripture. The Bible explains itself. If you read something and don't understand it, read on. Well, I read on. And I came to the upper room. The night Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, and we call it communion. And as Jesus sits at that table with those disciples around him, he picks up the bread, and Jesus, the master teacher, holds up that bread and says, this is my body. And I'm glad for the bread of life. I'm glad for the broken bread of Calvary. Hallelujah, and I'm glad there's enough of that bread, whoop, that'll feed every hungry sinner that'll come to the cross. Jesus said, I'm the kind of bread, if you had to eat it, you will never hunger. I'm glad Jesus is the bread of life. But Jesus, the master teacher, Jesus, the master teacher, in that same setting, at that same table, in that same room, surrounded by them same disciples, held up the cup. He held up the cup, and the cup contained the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine. You know what the fruit of the vine is? It's the liquid extract that comes from the crushing of the grapes. It's called wine. The fruit of the vine was in the cup. The fruit of the vine was in the fruit of the vine was in the cup. And Jesus, the master teacher, held up that cup. And he did not say, this is my Holy Ghost. He did not say, this is my joy. But Jesus, the master teacher, held up that cup, the fruit of the vine, and said emphatically, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of many sins. I want to tell you what that oil and wine is. It's a picture of the Holy Ghost applying the blood of Jesus Christ. And I've come to tell this crowd tonight, there is no sin, there is no shame, there is no embarrassment, there is no bondage, there is no addiction, there is nothing in your past stronger than the blood, more powerful than the blood, more authoritative than the blood. I wonder if there's anybody in this building tonight, you remember the day when the blood of Jesus Christ washed your sins away. Thank God it's still the blood. It always has been the blood, and it always will be the blood. And we're going to minister to people that are recovering from the fall. We're going to get them under the influence of the Holy Spirit and keep on singing the blood, pleading the blood, preaching the blood, telling them about the blood, because I just want to get this off my chest real quick. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's still the blood, always has been the blood, and always will be the blood. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ can help you recover from the fall? I was so impressed with those Bible commentaries. I read a little bit further, and I wanted them to tell me who this Samaritan was, or what this Samaritan was. And I found some camps. One guy said he must have been a physician, because who goes around with medicine and bandages? He must have been a physician. I don't know about that, but I know one thing: Jesus is the great physician. Then one man said he believed he must have been a shepherd, because outside of a doctor, who else carries around a script with bandages and medicine so they can help the little sheep that God hurt? So he must have been a shepherd. I don't know about that either, but I know this: Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. But I still wasn't satisfied. So let me give you Dr. Arthur's philosophy. I don't think he was a doctor. I don't think he was a shepherd. I think he was a regular old guy. Just a normal run-of-the-mill, half-breed Jew, good Samaritan. And what he had was his own supplies, just enough for his daily activity. So therefore, when he poured in the oil, it was his oil. When he poured in the wine, it was his wine. And if he wasn't a shepherd, and if he wasn't a doctor, where in the world did he get the bandages from? Well, the only way I know, he must have pulled off his own garments, ripped them to shred, and bound him up in his own garments. I like that one better. Because I want to tell you, the blood that Jesus shed was his blood. And the Holy Ghost was his spirit. And I'm bound up tonight, not in the rags of religion, but I'm bound up in the robes of righteousness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who covered up my fall, who covered up my past. And I'm glad when God sees me tonight, he don't see me before the fall. He doesn't see my past. He doesn't see your addiction. He doesn't see your bondage. When a sovereign, thrice holy God looks at you tonight, he sees you bound up in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ. He just gave himself, and I'm glad the pattern has been set. We've got something, and the world needs it. Let's give it to them. Let's be like Jesus. Let's pour in their life out of the abundance of what God has given us. The pattern. You take care of him. Man, I got to hurry. Number two, notice the place. Not only the pattern, but notice the place. Not only did he not leave him. Boy, this is good right here. Not only did he not leave him, like he found him, he did not leave him where he found him. He finds him deserted on the side of the road, left to die. Whoop. But he doesn't leave him there. He picks him up. And I love this King James word, brought him. That means he couldn't get there on his own. But he brought, anybody been brought? And brought him to an inn. He didn't leave him out in the world where he got messed up. He didn't leave him naked and bleeding in the ditch. He picked him up and brought him to an inn. Now, you know what an inn is? It's a home away from home while you're on your way home. You say, where is the end? You're sitting in it. Your church is the end. The family of God is the end. I wonder how many of you are glad when God saved you. He didn't leave you out in the world just to get along the best way you could. But there was a special place. There was a designated place. There was a holy place. There was a healing place. That was a blessed place where he brought you in out of the environment that wounded you, out of the environment that deserted you, out of the environment that stripped you. He brought you to a place, and in that place, you're going to get over it. You're going to heal up. You're going to recover. I'm glad he brought me to the end. I'm glad I'm in the church. It's my home away from home while I'm on my way home. You know what I love about an inn? It's where the stranger is welcome. You know what I love about an inn? It's where the weary are rested. You know what I love about the inn? It's where the dirty are cleansed. You know what I love about the inn? It's where the hungry are fed. You know what I love about the inn? It's where the sick get recovered. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if it dawned on you, but I just described the purpose of your church and mine. I just described the ministry of the local church. The stranger's welcome. The dirty are cleansed. The weary are rested. Whoop! The hungry are fed. The sick get recovered. Aren't you glad when you was a sinner all messed up in this world? Jesus found you. Jesus loved you. Jesus saved you. But he brought you to a church and he brought you to a place and you were welcome. You were fed. You were rested. You were blessed. Thank God it's good to be in the inn and the safest place for you and me on our way home is hang out at the inn and enjoy the blessings of the host. I don't know if y'all have heard the latest on me, but the latest rumor on me is this. Why, Brother Joe lets everybody come to his church. I plead guilty. And I love watching the Lord welcome the stranger. How you doing, my brother? We're glad you're here. Amen. We got solutions. Amen. We got answers to your questions. We can help you. We can point you to somebody that can take care of you. The light is on. The door is open. The table is spread. The Savior's in the house. Business is about to pick up. Aren't you glad you're not in the hog pen tonight? You're not in Sodom tonight. You're not in Moab tonight. You're not in Lodibar tonight. Whoop, whoop, whoop. You know where you're at? You're at the end. You're at the end. The stranger's welcome. The hungry are fed. The dirty are cleansed. The weary are rested. The sick are recovered. I'm glad I got a place at the inn. Well, glory. The pattern, the place. Number three, notice the provision. Notice what happened in the text. After the Good Samaritan found this man, loved this man, brought this man to an end, he went on his journey, I think, to go help some more people. And he says to the host, in my absence, while I'm gone, take care of him. Glory. And I know you can't do it on your own. So before I leave, I'm going to give you what you need to get the job done. I know this is bigger than you think. I know you may think you're not up to the task. Walking in my shoes is high cotton. And I know you can't do it on your own. But I'm not asking you to. Glory to God. So I'm going to provide, whoop, your every need. He's a preacher's boy. So I'm going to give you what you need before I leave. Because if it just liables to cost you just a little bit, don't brag about what all you had to give up to serve me. Because I'll take care of that. Amen. So there it is. Have fun. You got what you need. Get with it. Boy, Jesus knows I can't be a host on my own. He knows I can't be a blessing on my own. He knows I can't help anybody on my own. But thank God, I'm glad He gave us the provision. He gave us what we needed. We've got what we need. We got the 2 pence. What is that? We got the Word of God and we've got the Holy Ghost of God. So let's take it tonight and minister and help and be a blessing and host somebody along the journey. He has provided all our needs. Have you realized how the Lord has given His church an undoable task without Him? But I'm glad we don't have to do it without Him. My daddy was a preacher, a good one, old-fashioned Holy Ghost preacher. My mama was too, but because we was Baptists, nobody would ever ordain her. My mama went to heaven in February, 5 months ago today, wanting to be a preacher so bad she couldn't help it. She came from the Church of God. Her aunt was, but daddy wouldn't let her preach at church. I said at church. And my dad was an old-fashioned preacher. And for a long time, I ran from the call to preach because I didn't think I'd ever, and I still don't think, I've been able to live up to what my daddy was to me. You see, you didn't know my daddy. He didn't mean nothing to you, but I knowed him. I knew him well. He's my hero. I know you never heard of him, but I heard of him. In fact, I heard from him a couple of times. And brother, he was like thunder. When he spoke, you felt it and heard it. And for a long time, I shied away from obeying God because I felt like I couldn't live up to what my daddy was. And I shied away because I didn't feel like I could pray and full of the Holy Ghost like my mama was. And I caught myself comparing myself to this one and that one. I ain't got what that one's got. I ain't got what this one has. I can't do it like this one. I can't do it like that one. And then one day, God held me up in a corner and He said, "Son, I know you love your mama and I love you and I know you love your daddy and I know you respect others, but honey, I saved you. I redeemed you. I forgave you. I bought you. I called you. I can give you what I gave you, daddy. I can give you what I gave you, mama. I can give you what I've given everybody else. And I've just come to tell you, you wave that white flag of surrender and give your life to God. He will give you what you need to see the will of God done in your heart and in your life." And so I see the pattern. I see the provision. I see the place. But I preached all night to get to my favorite point. I see the promise because before He left, woo, He gave him what he needed. But he said to the host, you ain't seen the last of me. Because when I come again, when I come again, I will repay thee. So don't get up in public and go to whining about what all you had to give up to serve the Lord and how unfair God's been to you because he took so much from you and you've given him so little in return. Let me tell you what he's... I'm just looking for a ceiling fan. Let me tell you what he saved you out of. Let me tell you what you had to give up to serve God. Sin, darkness, no hope, a home in hell. But praise God, I got the better end of the deal. All of this and heaven too. And let me just say this tonight. What little minuscule price you may pay to serve the Lord, it's nothing when Jesus comes because he's coming to the end to reward the host. Boy, can I say that one more time? He's coming to the end to reward the host. Can I say that one more time? He's coming to the end to reward the host. You know what we're doing tonight as the people of God? We're loving people, encouraging people, hosting people, helping people, waiting on the second coming of our good Samaritan. And some glad morning, the trumpet's going to sound. He'll come like he said. It'll be payday someday. Let's be faithful. It'll be worth every mile of the trip. I got to say it one more time because he's coming back to the end to reward the host. When I come again, I will repay thee. Now, I don't want to read into the Bible. I got plenty of my friends that are good at that. And I don't want to read into it. But I want to use my wild imagination just a second. Can you imagine what it was like when he got back? Since you don't know, let me give you my version. I wouldn't be surprised at all that every day that old boy woke up with a faraway look in his eye. Who are you looking for? For the one that loved me, the one that saved me. What do you want to see him for? I want to thank him. I was so messed up when he found me, I didn't even say thank you. And there's the host. What are you looking for? Well, I'm looking for the one that saved this guy. Because I've been responsible for his recovery. And I want to hear him say, you done good. You done good. And can you imagine when the day arrives, he's walking up that house and there's that host. He walks out and said, sir, here he is. I did the best I could. I used what you left me. I loved him. I prayed with him. I kept pouring it in and I kept pouring it on. And that good Samaritan says, well done, well done. Thank God, I believe the next thing on God's time clock, the trumpet's going to sound and the door is going to open and the one that loved us and the one that saved us and the one that called us, it's coming back for us. And I want to be able to stand there with my arm around somebody that I've hosted. He looks good, don't he? I did the best I could. Because I believe it's going to be a payday someday to those who are faithful in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we stand all over the building tonight, let me ask you this simple question.